Let us turn, please, in the Word of God to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to read some of the words together this morning. This is a very well-known account in the Word of God, an account that we would teach our children, teach in the Sabbath school. An account even those who know very little about the Word of God would have some knowledge of: the crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to break in the reading. It would be lovely to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we'll start reading from verse 5. Exodus 14, verse 5. Let us hear the Word of the Lord together this morning. "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.' And Moses said unto the people, 'Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.'" Verse 22, please. "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of the Lord, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.'" We'll end the reading there, please, at the end of that 25th verse in this lovely book here that we have in this chapter of Exodus. Let us bow briefly, please, as we come to this, the preaching part of our service, even this morning. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy mercy today. We thank Thee, Lord, that we have already in this service been able to lift up our voices unto Thee. Much opportunity has been given already. We've even been able to worship Thee today in the act of giving. But Lord, we pray, even as we come now to this Thy word, help us just to settle down, to take away every other distraction from our minds, perhaps those things valid in and of themselves, those things that we'll be engaged in for the rest of the week, that we have been engaged in last week, yesterday. But Father, we pray that Thou would cause us each to cry from our hearts today, including the preacher, what would thou have me to do? What would thou have for me today? And Father, we pray that that would be the cry of our hearts today. Give that blessing, therefore, Lord. Help us now, even in these few moments that we have, to consider this thy word. Bless it to us, Lord, to young, to old, even those perhaps in receipt of a CD at a later date or any other thing like that, we pray for thy blessing. Outpour thy spirit. Bless. In thy precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Here we have, as I've mentioned already, the well-known portion here from the Word of God, this 14th chapter in Exodus. Concerning this, which was really the start, the commencement of the Exodus, the great Exodus, this thing that the book is named after, of the children of Israel from that land of Egypt, from that land of captivity, from that land of slavery, where they had been for over 400 years. It tells us in Exodus chapter 12, back the chapters here, in verse 40, of how the children of Israel had sojourned. That word really means they had stayed there, they had lived there, they had sojourned in the land of Egypt for 430 years. That's a long time. In the previous chapters to our readings, just to give us context of where we are in the book, we read really how the Lord's plan was put in place for the children of Israel, that they would be brought to the very stage that they're at now, that they would be brought through, that they would be kept, that they would be preserved, and then that they would be brought out of this land of Egypt. Years of slavery they endured. Years of bondage they endured. But now they were being brought out to that promised land by the hand and by the power of the Lord. In chapter 3, we read how Moses was called and commissioned to the task of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Remember that occasion where he led the sheep to the backside of the desert and the Lord revealed himself there? What a notable occasion that was for Moses. And as a knock-on effect for the rest of the children of Israel. In chapter 7 through to chapter 12, we read there the account of how the Lord used the 10 plagues that we all know about, I'm sure, with great effect in moving the king of Egypt into letting the Israelites go. Of course, that finished with the greatest plague of all, the 10th plague, the death of all the firstborn, apart from those who were under the blood, the shed blood of the Lamb that we read of there in the 12th chapter. But let us focus on this chapter. Let us focus on the accounts that are given to us here in chapter 14 this morning. It wasn't just a handful of people going out. It wasn't even 1,000 people or a great number like that. It would have been, by all estimates, well over 1.5 million people. Let us put that into context. It would have been well over that. I believe that would have been a conservative estimate. We'll look at some of the detail later on of how that number is come to. But to put it into some form of context, that is something like the population of our beloved Ulster, or certainly the 6 counties, Northern Ireland. That's like all of Northern Ireland leaving Egypt in that great exodus. Not only that, but with the livestock and with the cattle and everything else that went with it. Wasn't that a big undertaking? Yet the Lord was able to do that and even more. Some of the detail that we come to these numbers are gleaned really from chapter 12, verse 37 and verse 38. Look at those words with me. It tells us in verse 37 of chapter 12, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. What a great number. The next verse gives that additional detail, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Certainly a great throng went out of Egypt on that occasion. This passage that we have read this morning here, it brings us though to the first hurdle, the first major obstacle that these children of Israel would face on this great exodus that they would have from Egypt, the land of slavery right through to the promised land. Yet this was the first major thing that they were to face, and that was, of course, the crossing of the Red Sea. You see, we see all the blessings that the children of Israel had. You know, these people had the very presence of the Lord God Almighty with them. He led them. He was in their midst. The Lord was there, yet they were to face struggles. Even though the Lord was there with them, as they journeyed, they were going to. And we know, of course, as we look forward in the book of Exodus, how they would face problem after problem after problem. But for every problem, the Lord was there with a solution. It tells us there that they had the very presence of the Lord with us. We know that. It tells us in chapter 13, verse 21 and 22, "And the Lord went before them." The Lord was there. It tells us by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night, 24/7, day and night, the Lord was there. Yet they were to face problems. We read of the abiding presence of the Lord there. Verse 22 tells us, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night." You see, the Lord promised them, as he promises us, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." We have the presence of God in our midst. We have the presence of God in our meetings. Don't we often quote that verse that where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Surely every time we're met in prayer, aren't we doing just that? God is here. God is here and that to bless us. Yet, even as we see as taught to us here in this passage as well as many others, we will still face life's problems. We will still face trials. We will still face hurdles that we must negotiate and get through or around. But all the while, we must trust upon the Lord to bring us through. You see, there are some today who would say, because you have problems, the Lord has somehow departed from you. Perhaps we might even question that ourselves and the work that we're involved in at the minute. Very often we would sit at the bedside or in the hospital ward with someone, and very often we hear that the Lord has somehow left me. The heavens are as brass, I feel like I can't pray. Yet the Lord goes through the issues. The Lord goes through the problems every step of the way with the child of God. These people met their problems, but they didn't meet them alone. The Lord was there every step. Does not mean that whenever we have those problems, whenever we have those inevitable things that will surely come upon us, that somehow the Lord has departed from us. We can claim those promises right throughout the Word of God that I will never leave thee, that the Lord is always there, that the Lord will give us that blessing and encouragement that we need. But let us, and our time is limited this morning, as we consider these words here in Exodus chapter 14, let us consider, well, really the whole passage, but especially these words of wise counsel from Moses here in verse 13 and verse 14. These words, especially the middle section of verse 13, it tells us there, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you." There's a definite word here for Moses, and I believe for us as well. But let us consider, even before we get down to that verse, the general passage that we've had read to us this morning, and I trust read along as well. And as we do so, let us consider this, because very often I believe God's people, in this day of adversity, this day of problem after problem, we need encouragement. And very often we can get downhearted. Very often the chin can drop to the chest, the shoulders will roll forward, we'll start to drag our heels and forget to smile. But we need to get our heads up to where the Lord is. "I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence cometh mine help." We need to get our eyes onto the Lord. Think of Peter. Peter stepped out of the ship. He focused his attention on the Lord. He took several steps on the water. We often forget that. Yet as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he got his eyes onto the problem, got his eyes onto the storm, beginning to sink, it tells us in the Word of God. We need to get our eyes upon the Savior. And as we do that, as we consider this, these verses, let us consider by way of subject this morning, encouragement for the downhearted. Every one of us will go through a stage. We perhaps come just through a stage. Perhaps we're in the middle of a trial at the minute. Perhaps there is one just around the corner and we need encouragement. And the best source is God's word itself. And as we consider that thought, that theme, that central element to this chapter, let us consider very, very simply and very quickly the reason for their downhearted condition here. They had a great reason for it. You see, it's not just something minor, something that was imagined, something that was in the mind. It was perhaps the greatest army that had ever existed was hot on their heels, baying for blood. Pharaoh, and we've had it described to us here. We don't have time to go into it. Verse 7 describes it to us, how he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And more detail later on in the chapter of this force that was going after the children of Israel. It was very real. It was very real. It was physical force, a physical threat. Now, we will never face, the Lord saw to it, we don't have time to look at it, but the Lord saw to it that that enemy was annihilated, never to be, never to raise its head again, never again. But the problems we face today in 2015, completely different from this, but they are ever so real. They're every bit as real as the problems that the children of Israel faced here. They had great reason for it. Very often we as a collective church, as a denomination, as the Church of Christ at large, as the church here in Bethel, as families, even as an individual, we will see or we will hear those things that will cause us to despair. That happened here. Tells us in verse 10 very clearly that whenever they saw the enemy draw near, in the words of the verse here, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. You see, very often what we see disturbs us. They lifted up their eyes, and what they saw made them sore afraid. A very emphatic sense given here in the original, sore afraid, trembling with fear, no doubt. How often that can happen to us. You see, those people, in a sense, look back. Oh, yes, of course, there are times when we're to look back. In fact, Moses had commanded only in the previous chapter that they were to remember how the Lord had brought them out, and they, the Jews, to remember it to this day, how the Lord had brought them out. We are to remember. We are to consider. We are to look back. In fact, that word remember is a very common word in the Authorized Version. We have it almost 150 times that we're to remember, 148 times. But we ought to look back in a way that would not stop us from going. Look at Lot's wife. Didn't Lot's wife look back in a way, in a sense of longing, but the result of it was that she was no longer able to go forward. The point that she looked back is the point that she stopped. Whereas we as God's people today, we ought to look back. We ought to remember. We ought to remember from the mistakes and the problems that we had in the past. And indeed, we can be encouraged through that. I'm saved 3 decades this year. And I'm sure there are many in the meeting this morning who are saved much, much longer. We'll leave it at that. Maybe much, much longer than 3 decades. And I'm sure you can look back and you can say, I remember the time the Lord brought me through that. I remember the time the Lord brought me through that issue, that problem. I spoke to a lady in the hospital on Friday night, severely depressed. And she couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I said, you're safe from your 14-year-old. She was in her 80s. I'm sure you can remember things that happened in the past that the Lord has brought you through. And she mentioned a few very severe ones, car accidents, things that happened decades ago. And in doing so, we can be picked up. In doing so, we can be encouraged. And we ought to be encouraged too. Where the Lord has brought us from. Not simply to hark back to the good old days, like as if everything's rosy then, but terrible now. But to look back in that positive way, remembering that our God has not, that our God is not, and our God will not and cannot change. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we don't want to look back in that sense that Lot's wife did. Because these, the children of Israel here that we're reading off, that we're considering this morning, they had great cause, great reason to be fearful. They were literally between a rock and a hard place. And the enemy knew it. We didn't read the words, but it tells us there in the first part, in verse 3, Pharaoh, this is the enemy's words, the enemy's thoughts here. Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, he knew it. He knew the geography of the land, the latter part of verse 3. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. He knew that they had no escape. But he had taken God out of the equation. Do we do that too? Do we think, oh, there's no way through. I'm in complete despair. There's no way through. Whenever we do that, we do as Pharaoh did. We take God out of the equation. You see, with the Lord, we mightn't have an answer. We mightn't have a solution. He doesn't only have one. The Lord has many ways to bring us through those what seem like impossible tasks, impossible positions, impossible places. They had all this army, this military might chasing on their tails, baying for blood. Yet the Lord was there. The Lord was with them. The Lord changes not. Very often we look back to these Old Testament passages, even the New Testament, and we look at them in this abstract way and we say, but that was then. We mightn't say the words, but we might think it. That was then, this is now. We might look even further back to the beginning, to this is the second book of the Bible. We might say the Lord has changed. The Lord has not changed. Oh, we can look at more recent things. Look at the events that happened in the time of the disciples, in the time of Christ. After that, in the time of the disciples, right up to the canon of Scripture was closed, about AD 64, where the New Testament church era really started. Look even past that, how the likes of George Mueller prayed down the blessing of the Lord. Look at those times. Look at even since that, the 1859 revival in Ulster. Didn't the Lord answer the prayers of the people who waited before him then? God has not changed. They had great reason to be disheartened. But let us consider as well the reaction. What did they do and what do we do? Let us apply this to ourselves. The first thing that we read of the children of Israel doing when confronted with this, let's put it this way, this fearful sight that they saw. We read in verse 10, look at those words with me. Verse 10, the latter part, they cried out unto the Lord. That's an honorable reaction. That's an honorable thing for them to do. But, and we have to say this with a but, the second thing that we read of them, and this is the thing that categorizes these people right throughout their wanderings in the wilderness, they murmured. They complained. They took occasion against Moses and others later on as well. We read of that in verse 11 and verse 12. They actually cried to him and they actually said, think of this in context, that it would have been better if Moses had left them in their slavery, left them in Egypt, left them where they were. What a thing for them to actually to come out with and say. We are all aware, I'm sure, of Matthew Henry, that great Bible commentator. He said this concerning this thought. He said, while some cried out unto the Lord, this honorable thing, this first thing that we see them doing here, others cried out against Moses. Isn't it very true that when something goes wrong, we look for someone to blame, someone to point the finger at, someone to accuse, and that very often the person that the Lord has set at the head as such, Moses became the object here to finger-pointing, to ridicule, to complaints. We ought to remember every time we point the finger, there are three fingers pointing back. They pointed the finger at Moses. They murmured, they complained. This is the thing that they often did throughout their wanderings. But isn't it true? To bring it right down to the grassroots level, right down to us, right down to you, right down to me. What do we do given a situation like this? What do we do given bad news? What do we do given a curveball that can happen perhaps when you walk into work and you're told that you're no longer needed? Or whenever you go for a medical test and you're even waiting for the results, what do we do? Do we complain? Do we murmur? Do we look at the negative side of everything, or do we cry unto the Lord, the one who is able and the one who is willing to deliver us in our time of need? I trust that we follow the example that the first group did here. I would imagine it was a very small number. Perhaps the minority of the people were those who cried out unto the Lord, whereas most of them would have been engaging in this murmuring. Look on down through the book of Exodus with me, please. Chapter 15, verse 24, we'll do it briefly. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Remember that time when they were brought to that place where there was nothing for them to drink? Murmuring against the Lord. In fact, we see this problem is a contagious problem. And very often in the work of the Lord, that happens. One person starts to complain, and before they know it, it grows at an exponential rate. Everybody is complaining. Chapter 16, verse 2, the first couple of verses, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, and now they've brought Aaron in as well to murmur against him. Exodus 17, verse 3, and the people murmured against Moses. Numbers 14, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Numbers 16, verse 41, we could go on. A people bought by blood. Do you remember the night they were brought out? A people delivered from sin, delivered from the land of Egypt, yet murmuring. Do we do that? I think very often, and I'm just through college, and very often the problem that we're in at this time seems like the biggest problem that we'll ever have to face or ever have faced. Isn't that right? Yet we need a wee bit of perspective sometimes. We need to be able to step back from the problem and look at it and say, well, didn't the Lord bring us through that issue 10 years ago, 10 months ago, whatever it might be? Surely the Lord will bring us through this. I remember trying to get through my Hebrew, and I didn't think I was going to get through my Hebrew. I'm not academic like these other guys are. But I stepped back at one stage. I was starting to panic. Whenever you start to panic, you can take nothing into the mind. And I stepped back at one stage. I said to myself, the Lord brought me through the Greek. The Lord brought me through my first year Hebrew. The Lord brought me through this and that and the other thing. Surely the same God will bring us through this. We need to look at the problems that we will face in life with the perspective that the Lord has brought us through so many things. Very often, don't we go to prayer and we ask the Lord to give us this and to give us that and to give us the other thing, and we have a list of things that we want to ask the Lord for, legitimate enough, no problem. But we need to stop sometimes and look back at, can I put it this way, last week's list. We used to have a little prayer time every week with the students, every Thursday at a certain time. We went to prayer and we brought all the engagements that we were preaching at in the next week to come until we met again for prayer, all this list. But there was one week. We didn't bring that list, but we brought last week's list. And thank the Lord. Very often we need to remember to do that. Thank the Lord for what He has brought us through in the last week. Didn't the Lord help in that service? So many children brought into that children's meeting. A soul saved, perhaps, in that meeting. We need to remember what the Lord has brought us through with an eye to going forward. Oh, the Lord can bless us if we do. If we got our eyes upon the Lord and we keep them there, we fasten our eyes upon the Lord. You see, the Lord was the only one who could help these people in the situation that they were in. Matthew Henry again said about this portion, there was no way open to Israel but upwards. And from thence their deliverance came. I think those are lovely words. How often we get our heads down. I was thinking the other day about Nebuchadnezzar and how his pride brought him to that point where the Lord cast him to the side and he was put out to grass for a period of 7 years. And I remember I thought about that, and I thought about how the very animals in the field, the grass eaters, the cattle and the sheep, they hardly ever look up. You never see a cow looking up. And we can be like that. We can just look down and we can get the heads down. We need to look up. Matthew Henry again, there was no way open to Israel but upwards. And from thence their deliverance came. We need to get our heads up. We need to get our eyes upon the Savior again. There was great reason. There was this twofold reaction from these people, but what a relief for the downhearted. You see, the Lord stepped in. The Lord overruled. The Lord brought them through in a miraculous way. What a word for them on that day. Look at the words there. Verse 13, fear ye not. We don't have time to look at these words as there's so much in them. Fear ye not. I think it's only 8 times we have them recorded in this way. Fear ye not in the Authorized Version. But it's as many as 62 times we read the words fear not. 70 times in total we're told not to fear. Yet how often we're fearful. Yet how often our faith is weak and our fear is high. It should be the other way around if we get our eyes upon the Savior. We're told so many times, I believe, in the Word of God that we're not to fear. Repeat it over and over and again by the Lord inspiring these men to do so. I believe the reason for that is because we need to be told. We need that constant encouragement. We need that constant reminder that the Lord is in control. The Lord is on the throne. Today, in 2015, just as he was probably 1,500 years before Christ as these portions were set, same God. Same power, same love for his chosen people. That's who we are today. We don't have time to go into these things. Fear ye not, stand still. We looked at that psalm even in opening this morning. Verse 10, those lovely words of Psalm 46, verse 10. That we are simply to stop, that we're to wait. We're to do the opposite from what the natural reaction would be, and that would be to fight or flight or to do something. But these people were told not to trust in yourselves, essentially. Not to trust in the arm of flesh, but to trust in another. Who do we trust in? We trust, I trust in Christ alone. And then that last promise there. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe there's much encouragement to be seen, even from the way these individual, this great throng, were able just to stand back and watch the Lord at work. I believe there's times when we have to do that. There's times when we have to realize that God is our refuge and strength. We read those words at the very start of the meeting. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, because of this, we're not to fear. And very often, don't we put the faith in the arm of the flesh? Don't we say our ability, our contacts, our knowledge will bring us through this? Very often, when we're faced with a problem of the magnitude of this or smaller, don't we try everything else, and only when all else has failed do we try God? Don't we try to speak to our friends or perhaps someone who would have some knowledge in it or perhaps even consult an expert on the issue, whether it's a medical thing or whether it's a legal matter or no matter what it is, we'll consult this expert, and only when all else fails will we try the Lord. I believe there's much that we can learn from this example, from this advice, from this command, even of Moses this morning, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Our time is gone this morning. But we do know this, that the enemy were completely wiped out by the hand of the Lord that day. The Lord can deal, the Lord will deal with all these things that will bring us down, and all the glory will be upon him. You see, the very enemy admitted it here. Verse 25. What did they say? The Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them. They knew it. They knew that the Lord was on their side. Do we have faith like that? Sometimes our enemies can nearly have more faith in what the Lord can do for us than that we have. Let us, please, be encouraged. Let us be built up. Let us have this encouragement. Encouragement for the downhearted today. If you're downhearted, if you have problems, struggles, things that you're working through, you don't have to go through them alone. Trust in the Savior, and He will bring us through. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.